Well, turn to Acts 1:8, if you will. We've been talking about two dimensions of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost in you and the Holy Ghost upon you. We're going to be talking about prayer for the next two or three weeks, I believe. And I want you to understand the union between the Holy Ghost in you and the Holy Ghost upon you as you pray. When we talked about the Holy Ghost in you, we found out you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost dwells in His temple. We found out that God had said to the disciples, He has been with you, talking about the Holy Ghost, but He shall be in you. And then we go to Romans chapter 8, which if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not God's. In other words, every Christian has the Holy Ghost in them. And from His position in you, He's working mightily to help you and to benefit you. We found out He's in you. He teaches you. He's in you to help you remember. That's one of my favorites. The older I get, the more important that is. He's in you to be your guide into truth and to illuminate error. He's in you to speak the Father's will. We read all of those scriptures in the past. He's wonderful to help us and to illuminate and to enlighten us. Now, when we come to Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come, what? Upon you. It doesn't say in anymore. It's talking to Christians, those who have received Jesus in them. When you receive Jesus, the Holy Ghost represents Him and comes to live in you. You're the habitation or house of God by the Spirit. Now He comes upon you. Now this is at your option. It's provided for every Christian. Not everybody receives, but they can receive if they believe. It's for all men who believe. It's not for some and not for others. That's been taught in the past. It just isn't true. It's for whosoever will believe in the being filled with the Holy Ghost. We call receiving the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Ghost, endued with. The key word being with. Filled with, baptized with, or endued with. That means He comes upon you. I like to do it this way. He comes up from His position in you. He comes up and on you and fills you full of His presence. Now, there's a purpose for the Holy Ghost in you and the Holy Ghost upon you. The Holy Ghost in you accomplishes these things for your own benefit. He's a blessing to you. You needed Him. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You can't drink water for another. No matter how thirsty they are, how faint they have to drink water for themselves. So there's certain things the Holy Ghost does because you belong to God, because you're His child, because you need to be taught. If you're going to represent Him, you need to be taught. If you're going to represent Him, you need to understand how He guides you. He also leads us so that we identify the flesh. Remember we talked about that 1 week. Leads us to identify the flesh. Oh, maybe I should put identify there so you get it. He leads us to identify the flesh so that we walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And that's all for your benefit. That makes you a better representative of God. And when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, this tells you exactly why you receive power. After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall be witnesses. He comes upon you to enable you to be God's witness. A witness is one who testifies. Now, that's every single believer. Because we're not a prophet, priest, or king, because we're not an apostle, evangelist, a pastor, teacher, sometimes we think that eliminates us, but it never eliminates you. You belong to God. God lives in you, and He wants to fill you so full of knowledge and wisdom that you go forth as an able ambassador. We are able ambassadors of the new covenant, Paul said. And so He wants you to be a witness. And the first thing a witness does is just tell what you saw, what happened to you. And that's the job of every Christian. So this is what happened to me. Your story's not like mine. Mine's not like yours. I was raised in church, accepted Christ when I was 9 years old. Had some traumatic moments and so was baptized twice, and your story may be entirely different than that. But everybody has a story, and your story reaches people that my story wouldn't reach. And so we're allowing the Holy Ghost to come up and on us to be filled with or baptized with. When you're baptized with, you're totally immersed. To be immersed in Him so that we can be able witnesses. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost upon you is more for the other man's benefit. It's more for those people you're going to talk to and declare. They were all filled, verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. They were filled with that Spirit. The Spirit that dwells in you can fill you. It's a difference in having a glass of water and having a pitcher of water. You know, I'm a heavy drinker. That's water. I drink lots and lots and lots of water. I drink twice the water that Wayne does. He's amazed. He says, I don't know how you're doing that. I don't know how you're not doing that. You know? I mean, let's be fair here. It's just water. And there's a point where you know you've had all the water. I mean, you're sloshing when you walk. I mean, you're filled with water. That's enough water. You've had enough water. And you can be filled with the Holy Ghost. And you can know that satisfaction and know that you're filled. And when you're filled and you open your mouth to speak, see, He is more able to guide your words, to draw from what He's done in you and to project what He's done in you through you into the lives of others. Now you see the word in verse 3, the word upon. There appeared them cloven tongues like as rather appeared upon each of them. This second dimension of the Holy Ghost, which is for Christians, whether it's 5 minutes after you were saved or 5 years after you're saved, is always referred to as an upon experience. The new birth is the in experience. The Holy Ghost upon you. The Holy Ghost, the baptism with, being endued with, or receiving the gift of. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 8, the scripture in Acts is very, very consistent. In means in, and upon means upon, and they're not used randomly. This is Philip preaching in the city of Samaria. They received the word of God, verse 14, when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God. When you receive the word of God, it means they were born again. Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was fallen, and the word is upon. Fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. This is they received the Holy Ghost upon them, that second dimension. When they received the word, the Holy Ghost came to dwell in them. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born of the Spirit, or born again, or born a second time, or born from above. And he said, that's when my Spirit gives birth in your spirit. So the Holy Ghost comes in us to do the work of God in us, to connect us with God our Father and Jesus seated at his right hand. But then when he comes upon us, enables us and empowers us to take everything that was done in us and declare it and to share it. And it's the upon experience, and there's a difference. Now, years ago when I noticed it, I was pointing this out to a gentleman who's quite a scholar, and he said, you're putting far too much weight on a participle. Well, being out of English a long time, I had to think, a participle. But you can put weight on every verse of the scripture. It will hold you up. It will hold you up. And this little word upon will hold you up. This is God working through you, enabling you to help others. In chapter 10, we have the same thing. The word is not upon, it's on. Verse 44, Peter yet spake these words. The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. He fell on them. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Now, where the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will hear the speaking with tongues. There are those who think you can have the Holy Ghost upon you and not speak in tongues. Let me tell you what happens. When you teach this lesson, you lose some people, but does anybody not know what a tea kettle is? I have taught where they looked at me and I said, yeah, I don't know what a tea kettle is, and they go, well, you put the tea kettle on. It's totally enclosed, but it has a valve. And when it begins to heat up, that valve, when it's totally full of steam and water, that valve pops up and it begins to whistle or make whatever sound it's going to make. It always makes a sound when it's full. Now, people stepping into the fullness of the Spirit, moving in that direction, begin to bubble, and they begin to, the water and the steam, before that valve's open, before it's completely full, the water and the steam, you get out your tea. Does anybody still have a tea kettle? Get out your tea kettle this afternoon, practice. The water and the steam will bounce off of that tea kettle, and it begins to make lots of noises before it ever opens and whistles. And that's what happens to these people. They're stepping in the right direction. They're learning about God. They're moving past the new birth into this fullness that enables us to be God's ambassadors of truth, ambassadors of reconciliation. And they begin to make a lot of noise. They begin to bubble. I remember that. I remember telling people, you know, I'm going to speak in tongues soon. I was alive. I was obnoxious probably. But I was alive and things were happening, but I didn't speak in tongues. But one day when I got totally full, see, when I reached out to God, that fullness came and I began to speak in tongues. And that happens to everybody who will believe. If they don't believe it, they don't receive it. But if they do believe it, they can receive it. And it's not a matter of waiting. It's not a matter of time. It's instant. It's an experience. It's an experience of a lifetime. It's an experience that enables you to walk on earth and to speak words of truth and be of value to other people. Now, you can be value. Every Christian's a value. Holy Ghost in them. They're precious people. They're born again. They're going to heaven. Some of them live a... the Holy Ghost in you allows you to bear fruit. And a lot of these people are a lot fruitier than these people. Something about the Holy Ghost people that fail to be as fruity as they should. You know what I'm telling you? Look at Galatians 5. While I'm loitering here, let's just look at it. You're to bear fruit because God is in you. When God is in you, His nature is in you, His life is in you, His love is in you. You have eternal life, which is the nature of God, the nature of the Eternal One. And if you allow that nature to lead you, allow the Spirit of God who's in you to lead you, you're going to bear fruit. Now it says in verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's the fruit that you're going to see in your life because you're allowing the Holy Ghost to work mightily in you. He works in you and you're going to bear fruit. Now that says fruit of the Holy Spirit, but it's actually the fruit of the human spirit. There's not but one word in the Greek for spirit. It's pneuma, and you have to determine by the context, not by what the King James, the capital or not capital. The most marvelous example is in John 3, where it says, your spirit, small s, is born of the Holy Spirit, capital S, which is a correct usage in that instance. And this is because of the Spirit of God in you, yes, you're going to bear fruit, but it is your spirit that's bearing the fruit, not Him. You're going to bear fruit because you're listening to Him and guided by Him in you, and because He's given you wisdom and you're allowing that wisdom to lead your life. And so you're going to bear fruit. And these people often, I love the denominational church. I remember years ago they were giving some kind of anniversary party for my father. He was on church steps all my life. And I was compelled to go. I wasn't too interested. I was new in Pentecost. I wanted to stay with my Pentecostal church, but I went. I knew God wouldn't be there because they didn't speak in tongues. That's what I thought. And when I got there, the presence of God was so strong. It was just amazing. I just repented and repented and repented. They knew God. They knew Him in them. They allowed Him to guide their life. They allowed Him to lead them. And they were peaceful and they were long-suffering and all of these things. They allowed His love to dominate them. And that's every Christian. That's everybody. And we don't ever lose track with the fruit. We can't get over here. For the Holy Ghost upon you is actually for power. We can't get over here and walk in power and fail to bear fruit. It's not either or. It's both. You sure see power. Now look at Acts chapter 17. Let me show you again. You shall receive power, power, power. It's actually Acts 19, it is. And so the Holy Ghost upon you is to make you a witness, an ambassador. Paul to the Corinthian church uses the word ambassador. An ambassador is one who represents another. If we send you as an ambassador from the United States to represent the United States, and you get out there doing your own thing, telling your own story, after a while they'll figure that out and they'll call you to come home. An ambassador represents another and accurately represents another and steps into that place where the other would have been, but they sent you instead and does what they tell you to do. That's what our military does. They obey the commands of their commander. And we're under the commander of the Lord Jesus Christ, who's head of the church. And He moves in us and comes upon us in great power so that we can represent Him on here on the earth, represent Him. Now, Paul went and he said to the church at Ephesus, verse 2, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? See, there's a receiving of the Holy Ghost upon you, not in you. When you believe, He's in you. And they gave this answer, we've not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, there's two sides of that coin. I don't know that I knew too much about the Holy Ghost when I got born again. But if they don't know anything, if they don't know Him in any measure, they can't be born again. Because if you have not the Spirit, you're not His. They have to know the Spirit. So he says, well, what were you baptized? He found out they were baptized into John's baptism, which is a baptism of repentance, looking forward to Jesus coming, and they hadn't found out He came. So he preached Jesus to them, and when they, verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means they were born again, because you don't baptize people that aren't born again. So they heard the message, they received Jesus, they were baptized. And Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, or upon them, and they spake with tongues. He came on and upon. Now there's always somebody that says, is that necessary? Why no, being born again is not necessary. You can go to hell if you want to. But it's a privilege, it's an honor, it's a blessing. And it's available so that we can more accurately do the work of God. I was amazed when I stepped at Pentecost how little I knew past John 3:16. In fact, nothing. That and the Roman road of salvation. I just didn't know anything. And how rapidly, as I began to pray the Ephesian prayer, which was presented to us early on in those early years, and began to pray in other tongues and edify and build myself up, I was amazed at how fast I grew and how quick I caught on how much I knew. It's just amazing what God does when you set your heart to represent Him and to be the best representative that He's got. And that doesn't mean you'll be the best, but that's your goal. You know, you can't win a football game if you don't know this is a goalpost. You have to go this way. You have to work with the team. And we are a team, but every member of the team has certain strengths. I was reading an article by Tony Palmer, used to work with Kenneth Copeland. And he gave the most marvelous quote I put on the refrigerator, whereas I put things where I want to think about for a while. And he said, diversity is divine. Division is diabolical. It's not division we're talking about. We're talking about diversity. We're talking about all of us in one place. All of us knowing God and working together and being a part of God's kingdom. And all of us growing up and all of us allow the Holy Ghost to come upon us and to tell me what He wants me to do and to come upon you and fill you up and empower you so you can do what you're supposed to do. And nothing you're supposed to do is inferior. You go to a neighbor and you're a part of their life and you witness to them. Don't tell me you didn't do anything when they get to heaven. Because you witnessed to them, if that's the only thing you ever did, they'll be eternally grateful that you were there. I remember when we used to live on Martha Avenue. Wayne and I had been at the post office yesterday to put out some bulk mail, and so we drove, it's not far from the post office, we drove down that street to see our old house and see what's happened in the neighborhood. About the same, actually. The people across, the people next door to us, he was a cursing, oh my, he was an extraordinarily gifted sinner. A pleasant, very pleasant people, very lovely people. And we would talk to them, but only 5-10 minutes at a time because your heart couldn't stand it. I mean, you're like, so you have to get out of there. The people on the other side, I didn't know at the time, they were, I think, Lutheran. People down the street were Baptists, hadn't been to church in years. People over here are Baptists, and they have a moderate acquaintance with their church. Over a period of time, just going to church every Sunday and every Wednesday, just being faithful to God, just speaking a few words of encouragement here and there, every single one of them, began to get their heart right with God. It's absolutely amazing. Now, if that's the only thing we ever accomplished in life, for those 5 families, it was life or death. Our friend next door that was such a gifted sinner, he came one day, he's telling me a long story, and I'm nodding like I always do, and he said, well, that I heard that the other day at church. I said, wait a minute, what did you say? He said, oh, didn't I tell you I got born again? He had a heart attack and died right after that. That's amazing, isn't it? The lady next door came. She said, I see you every Sunday. You're going to church, right? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, well, we've been Lutheran our life. Would it be all right with you if we went back to the Lutheran church? I said, absolutely. Not that it needed to have my permission, but I said, oh, absolutely. It would certainly be all right. And down the street, this family that were Baptists hadn't been to church in a long time. She had a new baby. See, everything you do is a witness. Everything, whether you bake a pie, babysit, you just have what I call the anointed wave. Hey, how are you? Good to see you. And keep going. When you represent God, when you stand for truth, when you don't compromise on your values, when you don't mow the lawn on Sunday, that's what my daddy used to say. You don't have to write that down. He used to say, Becky Sue, if we mow the lawn on Sunday, they will not know that we love God. And my mama always cooked dinner. Now, we are old school. Somebody told me I'm old school, so I'll just admit that to you. A lot of these rules can be adjusted by your lifestyle. But Mama always cooked Sunday dinner on Saturday because you wouldn't cook Sunday dinner on Sunday. You knew that, right? Never. Oh, never on Sunday. And Daddy would polish the shoes and we'd read our Sunday school lesson while Lawrence Welk was on. That was our routine, you see. And certain things Daddy felt were important. We weren't trying to project our image. We weren't trying to be the family of goody two-shoes. We were trying to project the image of Christ as we understood Him. Now, the more you understand about Him, the more that image is projected, the more you realize it isn't a physical projection, but it's what you have in your heart that comes through in your lifestyle, in your behavior. It's a lifestyle without compromise. I was listening to Dr. Cho, longest sermon I've heard in a long time, 1 hour and 37 minutes. I didn't know that when Wayne handed it to me to listen to. I thought it was a 10-minute clip. He wanted me to hear something. And I listened, and I listened, and I listened, and I listened. He had it. It was an older, 10, 15 years old maybe, sermon. And he said that he had 750,000 members and 50,000 deacons. That's a bigger place. He said they can only park 5,000 cars. So a lot of people go to church by satellite and have their satellite churches. They do a lot of it. Very interesting. And then he preached on the Ten Commandments. And he said, when it comes to honor the Sabbath, he said, I think this is so important for us to give this just a grain of thought. See, we're ambassadors, and ambassador bears fruit. He has a certain lifestyle of fruit, and then he has the power of God. You know, somebody's sick, you lay hands on you, said, I'd be glad to pray for you. Would you like me to pray for you now? Do you mind if I hold your hand while I pray for you? So you just inch in there until you get their attention. But he said, there are two ways to get the blessings of God. He said, you will not be blessed. And this is what he said. Let me clarify. He said, you will not be blessed of God if you don't tithe and you don't honor the Sabbath. And I thought that was a fine, fine word. Coming from my background, being old school anyway, where the Sabbath, the Sunday, you know, now Resurrection Sunday was so important. See, we represent the King of Glory. We represent him in fruit, in our behavior, in our lifestyle, what we do and what we say and how we live. And we wait for him to come upon us. We sit in his presence so he comes upon us. And he comes upon us and we're empowered to do more than we could possibly do. You can do more with him than you can ever do without him. In fact, without him, you're confined to your mind and your own thinking and your own ability. And what a place to be. What a poor place to be. I think that's a pathetic place to be. It would be for me. Because sometimes I can't figure things out. Now look at 1 Corinthians. And let me tell you, the first thing, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. I'm working my way to prayer. Don't know that we'll get there today, but that's where we're headed for the next couple weeks. Chapter 14. Verse 4. And the word, the scripture word is edify. It means to build up or strengthen. The first thing you want to do, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, is to make sure that you pray in other tongues and that you're strong and that you're strengthened. You know, there's nothing like asking somebody to do a job and they're not really able. We had a family member in the hospital. I was at the hospital, was it 2 weeks ago on a Tuesday night? And I knew that was coming. I thought to myself for a month or two, I thought, I'm going to end up in the hospital all night on Tuesday night. I just kind of knew that. Because God tells you today about tomorrow. That's who he is. And that came to pass. Well, they didn't work for a while, and they went back to work Monday, and I talked to them on the phone. And they did all right during the day, but going home, they almost didn't get home because their condition was weakened. See, they had had that illness and the stress and the this, that, and the other. And I wish they had called me. Wayne and I would have gone and picked them up. But they did get home to their sofa. That was her goal, if I could just get home to the sofa, because she was not strong. Well, when God asks me to do something, sends me out an ambassador, you want to go in the strength of the Lord. It says, be strong in the Lord. That's not your own personal strength, your own personal ability. It says, lean not to your understanding. That's the understanding of heaven. That's the mind of the Lord. That's the wisdom of God and the strength of God to do the work of God that he's assigned to you, whether it's a bake a pie for your neighbor. I every now and then bake a pie or cake for somebody. Whether it's to babysit. Whether it's just to, you know, a lot of people, all they need is somebody to listen to them. They just need somebody to go, wow. That's tough, isn't it? But God is great. You know, need somebody to just edge them in the right direction. Well, here's the first thing. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. The first thing you want to do, the Holy Ghost comes upon you. In other words, he fills you up. You've received him in fullness. And it's not a one-time experience. It's a continual experience. You just don't drink water. I don't have to have water today. Because I had water yesterday. We have a relative who's a very puny eater, El Punio. And when Joel was home, I would run him over there. I'd say, take this. And he'd go with food. And I'd call and say, Joel's coming over with your supper. We did that as much as possible because, I don't know, they didn't get that life is about food. They didn't capture that. I don't know what happened. I caught that early on, didn't you? Life is about food. It's about Jesus and food, you know. And one day they said to me, oh, don't send him today. I ate yesterday. I said, I'm sending him, and I'm having him to stay there to supervise to make sure you eat a few bites. And they said, well, if you think you must. I thought, well, I do. I think I must. Well, that's the way with the Holy Ghost upon you. The more you pray in the Spirit, the stronger you are, the better able you are. You need to keep yourself full. It's not your full one time. Now that's old school, that's real old school. When Wayne and I visited family in Kentucky, we were new in Pentecost, and he said, "We're having a rolling in at the altar service tonight. Y'all should go with us." We were there over the weekend. And I thought, I would love to see a rolling. And Wayne said, "No way am I going to a rolling at the altar service." he said, interestingly, he said, "Tonight we'll be able to speak in tongues." And he had been taught, so graphically taught, that there were only certain occasions when God allowed you to speak in tongues. And that was prominent theology, but it's not the truth of the Scripture. It's your gift. You know, if I give you a gift, you can open it, you can throw it, you can use it every day, you can get rid of it. And it's God's gift to us that empowers us, enables us to go forth and to share the fruit that's been building in our life because He's in us. Very important. And so we didn't go. He said, "Oh, you missed it." He said, "I actually got to speak in tongues tonight." I said, "Well, I speak in tongues every day," and I started speaking in tongues. And he said, "How did you do that?" I said, "I opened my mouth." Sometimes what we've been taught is an error, and we're confined. Our behavior is confined to what they told us was truth. That's why it's important the Holy Ghost in you is your guide into truth to identify error. I didn't know anything about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but God began to guide me in that direction. I'd hear a word here and a word here. I wasn't sure what people were talking about, but my heart was drawn. I was interested until over time that truth unfolded to me and I received and began to speak in other tongues. See, and if you speak in tongues, you edify, or you strengthen, or you build up yourself. Now let me show it to you again in the book of Jude. So important to keep yourself strong. Nothing worse than a puny ambassador. I know you've had days when you just weren't feeling too well. You had things you had to do anyway. You ever had those days? And you got out there. And you wanted to go home. And my first thought is, well, maybe if I stopped and had some caffeine, you know, I could go further. A soft drink, a coffee or something. Verse 20, "You beloved..." Talking about those who are born again, those who receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, those who have the Holy Ghost in them, building up yourselves. Building, this is something I can't do for you. Building up yourself. Now I can do it with you. I can commandeer you and say, "Okay, I'm going to speak in tongues 30 minutes, and so are you." Open. You know, that won't work for everybody, but I've seen that work for some. I told one man, he was an amazing sinner. He was. And he was nice. He kept all the Ten Commandments. There's a scriptural story about the lawyer that kept all the Ten Commandments. And he just was as nice, as kind a man as you would ever want to meet. He would do anything for you, but he was as lost as a goose in a snowstorm. And one day I said to him, you are an amazing sinner. I can't believe your behavior is so right on when you're going right to hell. He looked at me. You know that line won't work everywhere. I'd never have said that again except to you. He didn't find that offensive. He went... You could tell he's thinking about that. See, because the Holy Ghost in you and upon you guides your words. He gives you things to say. Not only things to do, but things to say. How would you like to be at the right place, at the right time, helping the right people with the wisdom of heaven? Well, you have to stay edified. You have to say, building up yourself. You pray in other tongues. You build yourself up. It may seem like an idle experience to you. But when you pray in other tongues, you can know the strength of heaven is growing and accumulating in me. And when I finish praying in other tongues, I'm going to be stronger than I was before I began. And you do that on a daily basis to make sure that you're keeping yourself strong enough to be an ambassador, strong enough to perform the Word of God, strong enough not only to hear the directions of God, but to follow the directions of God. Building up yourself on your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost, or by praying in other times, keep yourself in the love of God. Now that's so important to connect those together, because there's something about praying in other tongues that helps us as far as bearing fruit, that helps the fruit that's in us to be projected through us. I know a lady called me on the phone. You don't undo me. I just don't fall apart. But she really got to me. Wayne came by. I handed her the phone. I began to tremble. I didn't know what to do. I've never been so... That's where I told you I found out what the word scripture, word railing meant. I'd studied the word railing, but it never came to grips with exactly what is it. And I thought, this is that. I'm being railed on. I handed Wayne the phone. I had a meeting to do. I sent him to the meeting. Tell so-and-so be there. She'll be able to do the meeting at last minute. And I couldn't go. I just couldn't go. I was just. I went to my room. It took me an hour and a half to pray. But I'm praying so that I get rid of vengeance. I get rid of bitterness. get rid of, I hope she gets what's coming to her. All of those things that occur from the human flesh, because you have your flesh to contend with all your life. I want to get rid of all of those things, and I want to have the strength of heaven. As you pray, you edify yourself. You build up the strength of heaven so that you can get out there and act right. You know you're supposed to act right. You know sometimes you didn't act right, and sometimes you weren't concerned that you didn't act right. Have you ever been there? You said the wrong thing, you didn't care. They deserve that. You know, that happens to everybody, some more than others, but everybody has moments when they didn't behave. Well, thank God we can edify ourselves, we can build ourselves up. And I was going to pray until I was ready to go forth and walk in love and to forgive and forget, because Scripture says love hardly even notices when others do it wrong. And I wasn't there. I noticed every word she said. I just wasn't there. But I had to get there. I read the story of a missionary. He had been in the country quite some time and was stopped at a roadblock, and they shot some members of his family. And he became very bitter and very hurt. And the love of God, and you can understand that, the love of God was silenced in his life. His life was consumed in that bitterness. And he went home in the days ahead, and he was determined to walk in love, because no matter what happens, love is right. No matter what happens, love is right. And he went home, and they had a pool, or he had access to a pool. He got in that pool, and he told the Lord, I'm going to swim from one side of this pool to the other, back and forth, until I can walk in love or drown. He said, I will not leave here bitter and hateful and revenge on these people who need you, who need the gospel. And he got in that pool and swam until his heart changed. And God changed his heart right there swimming in that pool. But see, God met, he had made a commitment. He said, I'm not willing to compromise the gospel. I'm not willing to say, you see what we say, you know, after what she did to me. No, it's a love wins. And praying in the Holy Ghost, edifying yourself, keeping yourself built up, recharging yourself, is going to be of great value to maintaining the fruit that he deposited in you, the fruit that you've been building in you through walking with God, through being guided and led and taught his word, the fruit that's building in you is going to be maintained and sustained in greater measure if you pray in the Spirit. And that's what this verse says, edify to build up. Now this is like beating a meringue. 3 egg whites it takes for a good meringue. You knew that, right? Did anybody not know that? I like to be superior in the cooking field. Oh, okay, 3 for you. 3 egg whites. And when you break the eggs and get the egg whites, you have a couple of tablespoons. That's about all. I'm just a little bit. But you go to beat them and you'll have about 3 inches. You didn't add anything to them. Now you can add sugar, you can add vanilla, you should do those things probably, but it's the body of the egg white as you, and that's what happens to the human spirit. You begin to pray in another tongue. You begin to beat up all that's in there, and it begins to be magnified, it begins to rise up, and the power of the Holy Ghost that comes upon you begins to usher you into God's presence. And when you leave there, you're not the same. That's why praying in tongues on a daily basis is very important. That's why when you sense trouble coming, you need to take extra time, or when you are already in the middle of trouble, you need to take extra time to pray in the Spirit. Now, when you pray in other tongues to edify yourself, that's entirely different than when you pray in other tongues for somebody. When you're practically praying for somebody, and over time of doing both, you get to know the difference. I can tell when I'm just praying for myself, building myself up, and strengthening myself. Isn't that selfish? No, it's God's gift to you. You'll never be all that you can be, all that you should be, if you don't take time to be strong by praying in other tongues. That's part of God's package deal, so to speak. I can tell the difference when I'm praying for somebody. The Holy Ghost is going to strengthen you, come upon you, strengthen you. You're going to stay filled with Him. He's going to enable you to maintain the new birth experience that He's and the fruit that you've been bearing, and you're going to then leave as God's ambassador, who's really a good ambassador, who really speaks truth, who people like E.F. Hutton, you know, they listen when they see you coming. I was amazed. I don't know what I did. Must have, no telling what I did, but they sent me a copy of my medical chart, my yearly physical thingy, and it says, patient is a Pentecostal. It says that, I thought. I took out Wayne. We go same time every year. I took out his doesn't say that. I thought, wonder what I did. I mean, there's no telling, but I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, and I'm a believer. And if he tried to lead me down the wrong road, the fact that I wouldn't follow was probably what made him put that note. I don't know, but I'm not going, no matter what your expertise, I'm not going the wrong way because you're the smarter of the two of us. If I know truth, I'm walking in truth, and I'm backing up my, so you know, I'm not doing that. That's probably what I did. I don't remember. I have no clue, but he did ask me one time, didn't I want to know how I was going to die, some test he wanted to run. I said, no, not really. Not today. I'm not going today. Anyway, I probably over time offended him. And the purpose of being filled with the Spirit is not to offend people. It's to stand steadfast and be the witness. And sometimes in being a witness, you do offend them, but that's their problem, not yours. Now, we're going to pray in the Spirit. Look at Romans chapter 8. Because the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Upon us. Verse 26. Sometimes the only thing we can do for one another is pray. You know, I can't finance your dilemma. I don't have the wisdom to give you sound advice. Many, many times people have come with a problem. And they look at you, they expect you to, now's the time for me to say something brilliant. I don't know what to say. One lady told me about her son going to court, and she rattled on and on, you know, and I thought she was coming to the place where she was going to say he's innocent, and she wanted the attorneys to represent him well and the judge to see. He wanted to be highly favored, and she rattled all these things on. So I'm assuming, you know, that he's innocent. She wants to make sure that that comes out in court. So when she got all the details out, she comes in and she said, oh, yeah, and he's guilty. Well, I hadn't prayed very long in the Spirit. I'm brand new at Pentecost. I didn't know what to do, I thought. I didn't have a clue. Not a clue what to do. And I thanked her for that request, and I said, I've listened. I will pray. And I did pray. And as I was praying, see, the Holy Ghost who builds you up, who empowers you, who enables you to represent the gospel, also gives you wisdom that you need for other people. Now, if I'm going to keep my word, and I don't give my word without keeping it, lest I just accidentally forget. But if I'm going to pray, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't have the mind of the Lord. What do you do? You know, most guilty people need to go to jail. And yet there are those who profit by being pardoned or some other. I don't know that because I don't know him. And even if I knew him, I probably wouldn't know. One of the ladies in my Sunday school class years ago, her husband was in prison. She was so thrilled he had served his sentence out, was coming home within the year, and he did come home. I was so thrilled for her. She had really held, small children had really held steady, and God had really enabled her and graced her. Well, he wasn't home 2 or 3 months before he got arrested for doing the same thing he went to prison for and had all those years first time. You see, well, in praying, I didn't have, in the natural, I don't have any way. I'm just going by the fact that she's aglow that he's coming home, and he's got a job, and they're going to live together and work together, and they're going to live happily ever after. I'm just going by what she said. But what she said wasn't right. That was her dream and goal, but it wasn't going to come to pass. See, that's why we need the Holy Ghost. That's why we need him to pray. Well, I began praying for this other kid, and as I began to pray, I began to say, have mercy, Lord, have mercy, have mercy. And I knew instantly, now I have the mind of the Lord. The Holy Spirit who comes upon me, who fills me, has projected me and put me in a place so that I have the mind of the Lord. I know what God wants to do for him, for this kid. Not for everybody, but for this kid. I know that. I knew that's what I was doing. My name had people agree with me. What happened was that he was the last case. The judge had a really long docket, started early in the morning, and this kid comes up late in the evening. You know, long past the time the judge should have been home at his supper table. And he recognized him from a prior encounter, and he sent him home. That was all it was. He said, I'll catch you next time. And that was the mercy of the Lord. God intended for that kid to have mercy this time. It was amazing. I didn't know that. I found that out by praying in the Spirit, by praying in other tongues. And as you pray in other tongues, you're praying the mind of the Lord. You're praying the will of God. And sometimes you catch a glimpse of what God is saying by the Spirit. And I just caught that glimpse, the interpretation of some of the things we had said in other tongues. Now, it says, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities. The chief infirmity, this is not talking about sicknesses. This is talking about people who pray. The Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I did not know what I should pray for him. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, you remember that when we studied the Holy Ghost in you, the Holy Ghost in you says, I don't say anything that the Father's not saying. He said, I never speak of my own origin. I'm not deciding what to say. Every word the Holy Ghost says in you comes directly from the Father. He's just repeating what Jesus and the Father are saying and repeating it to you. And when you pray in other tongues, it's the same thing. He's inspiring that tongue beyond your knowledge to plant in you, to say back to the Father what the Father's just delivered to the Holy Ghost. It's kind of a circle. The Father, Holy Ghost picks it up from the Father and from Jesus, and he puts it in your spirit. You begin to speak out. You have to do the speaking. You begin to cooperate with God, to cooperate with the Holy Ghost, to let that fullness in the Holy Ghost upon you lead your tongue. And as you do, you say back to the Father what he just said to the Spirit. And when you do, sometimes you catch a glimpse. You think, oh, mercy, that's it, isn't it? And I was praying the other day in other tongues. I have no clue what I was praying about. Nosy prayers are very seldom successful prayers. You can write that down, underline it. Very important. We have a tendency to want to figure everything out. Well, I was praying the other day, and I heard in the Spirit, today's the day. I don't know what I'm praying about. I don't know who I'm praying for. I knew it wasn't me. And see, the Lord planted that. Now I'm in faith. It's hard to hold on by faith to other tongues. You know, you understand that. But now every time I think about that, I say, thank God, today's the day. Oh, thank you, Father, today's the day. He said, for what? I don't have any idea. That what if God had wanted me to know, he'd have said so. He didn't tell me, I don't know. But I know it's going to happen today. I expect when I get to heaven, somebody will say, you're the one that anchored me that day so that it would be today and not tomorrow. Today's the day. And I begin seeing sometimes we start out in other tongues. We start out because we don't have information to pray any other way. Now, I can pray the Word and pray what I know and what I understand from the Scriptures, and I should and I do, but beyond that, sometimes what I know and what I understand is not adequate. It's not enough to bring the answer. It's not enough. And you can tell that when somebody's talking to you and you're going, oh my gosh, wow. And so you begin to pray in the Spirit. And allow the Holy Ghost, who only prays the will of the Father, who only says what the Father is saying, who gives you the word the Father sends, so you can say what God is saying so God can work. See, God gave man authority on earth, and he works through man. So your speaking is very important to open the door for God to come and move in somebody's life, to come and move on the earth, because he said to Adam, have fruit, multiply, and have dominion. Man has dominion or authority on the earth, so God needs your authority. He needs your voice on the earth to open the door for him to do what he wants to do. Now, through the gifts of the Spirit, he's said in advance, when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, I'll do what I want to, as the Spirit wills. That's entirely different. We'll draw that line for you in the future. But what I want you to see today is as you pray, as you come to a situation where you don't have knowledge, because the Holy Ghost is upon you, you have all that you need to bring a solution to that problem, to bring an answer to that person. Beyond your own ability, God can work through you and speak through you so that you have an answer. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 14, I can't lay it all out today, but we'll get it all together. Verse 2. He that speaks in unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. How he in the Spirit, he speaks mystery, or he speaks divine secrets. And when I'm praying in other tongues, it's a mystery to me. It's a secret to me. But I'm speaking what will bring you relief, what will put you in the right direction, what will anchor you till the answer comes. And I'm doing that by unction of the Holy Spirit who's brought me the word of the Father. And I'm speaking a mystery. Now, whether or not you understand the mystery is not important. If God wants you to understand the mystery, he'll tell you. You know, Christians need to know. I teach this when we teach Bible schools. And say, all you have to do is say, we do not know. God did not say. We don't have any problem with that. We do not know. And some things we don't know, and some things are a mystery. And the Old Testament says the secret things belong unto the Lord. That means there are some things that God keeps secret. Now, if you're praying for me, there are some things I appreciate it if God would keep secret. You know what I'm telling you? I just say we not tell everything that we know. But look at verse 13. Therefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. You're praying in tongues. You're speaking to God. You're bringing the answer for whoever you're praying for, yourself or someone else. And this is pray that you may interpret. That means when I'm praying in other tongues, I'm aware that God may give me a part of that in English. It's not really a prophetic word in the sense that it's just an interpretation. What you just prayed in other tongues, God begins to give you just a glimpse of that. And see, when I pray, I say, Father, is there anything here I need to know? Anything here you'd want me to know? I know that I will interpret that. Now, for me, different strokes for different folks. For me, I usually get a word, a sentence, a verse of Scripture. I very seldom get a... You know, when people said, God said, and God said, and God said, and God said, and then God said, when they get chapters and chapters and chapters of thus saith the Lord, I'm concerned. Because I've never known anybody really heard from God that got steps 1 through 10 the day they prayed. It just seldom. It just doesn't happen. But it's, if you stand and say, I'm going to pray another tongue because I don't know how it's to pray. I don't know what the solution is. I don't know. I'm going to. And there's a difference in that in edifying yourself. You can tell the difference as you work with God. I'm going to pray in other tongues. And then God, if I need to interpret any of this, and that's what happened that day. I'm praying in other tongues when I heard today's the day. I was praying for a lady whose husband was in business, and I knew by the Spirit I was praying for something to have the business deal. I can't even tell you exactly what he does, but something. And as I'm praying in other tongues, I knew he's going to have an unexpected, something really unexpected happen in the business. I heard that in the Spirit. Unexpected. Unexpected. And months later, and I knew it would be a blessing, not an unexpected, you know, dilemma, but something that would really be, he signed the biggest contract he's ever signed months later, totally out of the blue, had not a clue that he was going to get it. But see, as we prayed in other tongues, God moved us in that direction to be of help to him, to anchor that contract beyond his, even his knowledge, beyond my knowledge, beyond his knowledge, beyond his wife's knowledge, who's an excellent prayer. God moved us to anchor that contract and to blow it in by the wind of the Spirit as a total surprise to him. I knew it'd be unexpected. I knew it was business related, and I knew it'd be a blessing. That's all I knew. So now, see, when I go back to God, I say, oh, thank you, Father, that unexpected blessing is coming to his business. Oh, thank you for an unexpected... And see, the interpretation I get, you get that by interpreting in English what God said to you, what you said, what God said through you in other tongues. And that anchors your faith, and that gives you a place to stand. And next time you think about that or you see him pass through, you say, unexpected blessing, unexpected blessing, unexpected blessing in his business. Oh, thank God. And see, your faith is anchored. And your faith cannot substitute for his faith, but your faith can join his faith. You can, now you've prayed, and now you have information, and you're in faith for his blessing. You can't walk for somebody. I got a call the other day. I'm so disappointed that something didn't happen for a friend. I said, what is your friend believing? I can't do this for you. So you're trying to do this for your friend, and it won't work. I can't do this for you. I cannot do this for you. But I can walk with you. And all I did was walk with him. And I didn't know to walk with him. I didn't have any accurate knowledge. Nobody came to me and said, we really need a blessing in our business. Nobody said a word to me. See, I knew as I began to pray in other tongues. Sometimes you just have what we call an unction. I just need to pray. I need to pray. I need to pray. When you begin to pray, you know if God says something, fine. If he doesn't say anything, he didn't want to say anything, you didn't need to know. That's how that works. But he wanted me to anchor my faith in conjunction with him so that this would come to pass. And that's what we did. You see that? You know what I say? I hope you're not offended. I've had people be offended. But speaking in tongues is for people that aren't very smart. That would be me. You know, when the lady came, she said, would you pray for my sister's uncle's cousin's son in Texas? And then she read about what they needed, what she thought they needed, and I'm thinking, sisters, uncles, I'm trying to figure out who we're praying for. I'm just totally in the, I'm thinking, I said, wait a minute, just now. I say again, what it was you needed? I'm so lost in who this was. I said, tell me again what it was you thought you needed. You know, sometimes what they thought they needed is not what they needed. That's why it's important to pray in the Spirit. Now, if you were sick, and I can see you're sick, I can pray the Scripture. I can thank God that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. I can thank God you have the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of healing. I can stand that. You'll recover very, very quickly. And the angel of the Lord will be there so that you won't stumble. You know you can stumble in through medical treatment if you've ever done that. So that you won't stumble as you're getting the medical treatment. And that you'll know the appropriate treatment. You'll know what needs to be done, what doesn't. I can pray all of those in English. But sometimes after I've done that, I pray because I have knowledge. You can pray with knowledge. Sometimes after I've done that, there's something on the inside, so that's not enough. It's not enough. It's not enough. And so then I go to other tongues because there's obviously something here about your medical treatment that I don't know or maybe you don't even know. Maybe they're fixing to offer you a drug that wouldn't be good for you that you'd be allergic to. Maybe they're going to suggest a surgery that you're going to resist that you really should have or vice versa. See, there's something. There's something beyond the realms of knowledge. And praying in other tongues is to do that which is beyond the realms of knowledge. Amen? Oh, thank God. Thank you, Father. That beyond the realms of knowledge, by the Spirit who's come upon us, as your ambassadors, ambassadors pray, ambassadors have words and solutions in the Spirit for people they'll never see, never talk to. We thank you that we can be used as your ambassadors to pray, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name for every listening ear this day, in that name above every name, amen, amen. God bless you.